Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think about Rashomon?
From a film appreciation standpoint and an artistic standpoint, Kurosawa knows what he's doing.
Okay. So many years ago, I used to host movie nights at school.
Yeah.
With my roommate, a man that I absolutely love, very smart, very put together. Over the course of like 3 weeks, he had picked things like Elephant Man and...
a Mel Brooks film.
No. Well,
yeah.
By the production company.
By the production company. Yeah, it's a Brooks film.
But not in the way that you'd expect.
Yes.
You know, and then like Last King of Scotland. And like it was two or three really heavy movies in a row. And so when I said, I'm going to pick, and I picked Blues Brothers.
Yes.
Because after 3 weeks of heavy movies, what I'm starting to realize is that apparently he's rubbed off on me, and that's the kind of movies I pick for you. are the movies that, yes, these are quite honestly good movies.
Yeah.
but they're not necessarily fun movies. So.
Tell you what, let's talk about the movie, and then we'll talk about the movie.
All right. So for those of you who are joining in, willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. This is You Want Me to Watch What, a podcast where Justin and I, between the two of us who have seen thousands of movies, recommend or just kind of say, hey, let's watch this and try to scoot under the radar of what the other one's seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about it. And you're here, so you get to listen. This was Rashomon. This was the movie that effectively introduced Japanese cinema to the Americas.
Okay.
In 1950. So 5 years after a certain explosive was detonated.
Yeah.
You know, and it is, for those of you who do storytelling and so forth, it's the source of what's known as the Rashomon effect, which is getting several stories about the same event from different perspectives, each one carrying its own biases, its own prejudices, and its own small t truths.
Yes.
Rashomon is named after the city gate that this entire thing is kind of taking place in. It is rainy, and a man comes up and is trying to dry himself off, where he's told that a court case has just finished, wherein a samurai has been killed and a bandit, and the wife kind of was attacked, and the bandit has been caught, and everyone's got their story to tell. So it starts with the woodcutter who finds the body. That's it. So then we get to the bandit, and the bandit has his story,
mm-hmm.
played by Toshirô Mifune, who is, he's from, the other Kurosawa that we watched, not Yojimbo, but the...
thought it was Yojimbo.
Was it Yojimbo? Yes,
yeah.
Yojimbo. Sorry, I was thinking there was a... Anyway, okay, so in that one, the bandit, because none of them have names.
That's true.
It's the woodcutter, the bandit, the woman,
yeah.
and the samurai, and the priest, because the stranger is just the stranger.
Yeah.
So the bandit comes in, and he tells his story in the court, where he was just lazing about when the samurai and the wife came by, and he falls in lust and, you know, decides to follow along. And he, in his story, it comes across as he kind of seduces the wife,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when that's done, she begs him to kill her husband, you know, or to kill her, or for her husband to kill him, because somebody has to die here.
Yes.
Because her honor's been besmirched.
Yes.
By the way, 1950s Japan.
Yeah.
The gender stuff in this is a little bit, well, it's like 1950s America.
Yeah.
The gender stuff's a little, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Product of its time.
What follows is a sword fight that ends with the samurai being killed.
Yes.
And the way it looks is that the bandit is very, very suave, very aggressive, very...
Cuckoo bananas?
Cuckoo bananas is a little bit true, but it's from his own perspective, which is kind of
true.
Weird from that.
Yeah.
So then we move on to the wife's story, where after she's been assaulted, she goes and tries to gain some kind of sympathy, you know, from her husband, the samurai, and he is just filled with loathing for her. And so despite her pleas for forgiveness or for her death, he just keeps looking at her with that loathing, and she says she passed out, and when she wakes up, her dagger was in his chest. And so she doesn't even know how she got out of the woods from that point. She was found in one of the temples. Then we hear the samurai's story. He's dead. So they bring in the interpretive dance medium
mm-hmm.
to tell the story. And from his perspective, you know, it, again, a different story.
Yep.
You know, where he's got this stuff going on. Where after his wife leaves and the bandit runs off, the bandit comes back and lets him go, and he commits suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then later on, somebody takes the dagger. So you got the three stories of the people involved, and none of them quite match up. Then the woodcutter, the guy from the very beginning who just, quote unquote, found the body, tells his story. He was there the whole time,
yeah,
watching, where now we get both the bandit and the samurai super cowardly. And neither one of them wanting to fight. And the woman basically challenging their manhood that they won't fight for her after both of them have had their way with her.
Yeah.
Which leads to ultimately the bandit winning the fight just kind of almost by accident. Cut back to the city gate in Rashomon, and the three men, the priest, the woodcutter who just finished telling his, and the stranger... And the strange, they hear a baby. They go, and the stranger's about to take, you know, takes all the clothes that were wrapped around the baby and so forth. And we find that the woodcutter stole the dagger. There was the dagger involved that the samurai, you know, in his story killed himself mm-hmm. with, but showed up in other stories. This pearl inlaid, very expensive dagger.
Yeah.
So the priest loses his faith. The woodcutter, you know, eventually takes the babies. Like, I've already got six kids. One more won't make a difference, which restores the priest's faith. And then the rain stops and everyone goes home.
Yes.
It is never given who is telling the truth. Not completely.
Yeah.
It does give us kind of this fun notion of what's, I think it's called last priority. Is like the story that you hear last is the story that you give the most weight to.
Yeah.
As opposed to first priority, which mm-hmm. is the story you hear first is the one that, you know, everything, because it starts out that way, you know, where you hear just the, you know, the woodcutter comes about and finds the thing. And it's like, okay, that's the way this happened. And so then everything is just trying to explain how the dead body got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first priority. And then when the woodcutter tells his story again, it's last priority. It's like, oh, this must be the way it happened. Then you find out that he probably stole the dagger. And it's like, wait, if he was lying too. So that's the story. And it, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about spoiling a 73-year-old film.
No.
But talk to me about, you know, lots of laughter. Not from us.
Not from us. Lots of crazed laughter from momentary insanity, I think. like I said at the beginning, this was a very well done film.
Mm-hmm.
Kurosawa has an amazing eye for framing and lighting.
Agreed.
I mean, it is very evident. It was very evident in Yojimbo that he was past tense.
I think so.
Yeah. He was a very accomplished filmmaker and knew what he was doing. And from a technical standpoint, his stuff still stands up today. Very well done. This particular story, however,
mm-hmm.
it just seemed like it drug on. It could have been a lot shorter.
This is a film, it's 88 minutes long.
Yeah.
And by the time the first 20 minutes is done, you're like, how much do I have left?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's 5 minutes of just the woodcutter walking through the woods before he even finds any clues.
Mm-hmm. Kurosawa takes his time to set everything.
Yes.
Everything. You show up at the city gate, you're going to get a solid minute, minute and a half of just watching the rain fall on the buildings.
Yeah.
You know, and there is... It sets a pace. This is kind of like with Sting and some of the other things. Mm-hmm. This is a methodical movie.
Yeah.
And it's very different from the directing styles that we get today.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of quick cuts, a lot of
and a lot of frenetic energy.
Yes.
You know, we want something to be happening, even if that thing is a joke or a quip or an action mm-hmm. sequence. You know, we're constantly wanting. I blame Sesame Street. Sesame Street figured out that in order to learn, we can do things no more than like 30 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
And so ever since the 60s, our ability to concentrate has just taken a nosedive.
I did notice that the first human sound you hear in this movie is somebody sighing.
Mm-hmm.
That is after 5 minutes of watching the credits and the rain, you hear...
Almost Muppety,
yeah.
Are we about to start the movie? So, now, this falls in the vein of movies that I think one should watch if one likes movies.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I would liken this. This one is going to the museum, you know. You go to the museum to appreciate, to see, to learn a little bit.
Yes.
You know, you have fun. You enjoy yourself. But it is not the same as going to the zoo.
Exactly. You still learn a little bit at the zoo, but it's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is a vast difference between watching Rashomon, which is a trip to the art museum, versus Animal House, which is a trip to the zoo.
That's very true.
Yes.
In so many ways.
Yes.
Wow. Never would have put those two together. That's okay.
You're welcome.
Yep.
So I enjoyed it while I was watching it.
Uh-huh.
It felt a little long at times. Mm-hmm. I never once looked at my clock,
mm-hmm.
but I did wonder... How long is this? You know, where are we? You know.
So I first saw it years ago.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, as we got just about finished with the bandit story,
mm-hmm.
the thought that went through my head is, I really miss timers on the DVD players. that would tell you how long something's been going.
Yeah.
But so be it.
Yeah.
I still like it.
And like I was saying, it's... Like you said, if you are an appreciator of film,
mm-hmm.
watch it. Absolutely. Yeah. And I would show this to other people who said, hey, I'm curious about X style of movie. Well, then let me sit down and show you this.
Mm-hmm.
Caveat, it's a little long. Settle in.
It'll feel long.
It'll feel long.
That's the thing. It's still a short movie by
it'll
today's
feel
standard.
Long.
It'll feel long because you're spending a lot of your time... because you're spending a lot of your time just kind of setting the scene that's about to happen.
Yes.
And it's Criterion did a really good job. It looks like it was shot yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Criterion does a great job of cleaning up their stuff. They're very proud of their stuff by the price point, but you're getting what you paid for.
But it doesn't change the fact that it's still a black and white film from 1950.
Yeah.
With the lighting and the outdoorsiness of things. So it's a see it from me for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, I think the acting in it is interesting. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say good. I think that's a directorial thing.
Yes.
I think Kurosawa was going for kind of a crazed manic
yeah.
from his actors because the story he had to tell was so sedate.
Yes.
You know, and so the actors are way deep into it.
It is a very exaggerated. It is the kind of acting you would see in a stage play.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's early enough kind of in the development of Japanese cinema that might be what we're seeing.
Yeah.
But it falls under the near timeless kind of category to me in that you don't know exactly when this is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
You see cement, so you're guessing probably fairly modern, but it could also, I mean, they're still using swords.
Yes.
So it could be not.
Yes.
So anyway, see it from me for the film history, for the storytelling, for the source of Rashomon Effect, for the way that the story is told in this back and forth non-linear fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much better than The Lady or the Tiger in terms of not telling you what the ending is that I think it's well worth at least the experience once.
And I agree. See it for all of those same reasons.
All right. Then it's your turn.
It is.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.